Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and it's deja vu all over again at the NYPD. David Dinkins' police commissioner was Ray Kelly. When Rudy Giuliani was elected, he replaced Kelly with Bill Bratton. Here we go again. Some of you remember Bratton, but many of you weren't here yet or weren't even born yet when he was police commissioner from 1994 to 1996. So we will spend a few minutes now on the evolution of William J. Bratton, Boston to New York to L.A., to London, to the private sector, and back again now to New York City. This tri-coastal story requires three guests. So we have Boston Globe columnist Kevin Cullen, Frank Stoltz of KPCC, Southern California Public Radio, and Frank Zimring, author of The City That Became Safe, New York's Lessons for Urban Crime and Its Control. Welcome all of you to WNYC today. Hi.
Good morning.
And Kevin Cullen in Boston, let me start with you. Bratton rose through the ranks of the Boston Police Department in the 1980s. Was he seen as an innovator that early in his career?
Yeah, he was actually, and he was actually seen as almost too ambitious by half in Boston. It wasn't surprising that Bill had to go to New York to succeed at the highest levels, because in Boston, I think the sort of there's many fine. It's an Irish city by ethos. It's the first African American president of the city council, Bruce Bowling. The first thing he did was punish a rival. When I told Bruce he acted like an Irish Paul, he said, "Kevin, in this town, we're all Irish by osmosis." And I think that when Bill was a young commander, he was appointed by Joe Jordan, who was then the police commissioner of Boston. And when people started making remarks about how Bratton was the smartest guy that he had and that he was going to go after his own job, and Bill made some, Bill has always been ambitious, and he made some remark about, yeah, I wouldn't mind being police commissioner or something like that. Well, the commissioner got rid of him, and he had to go a different route, and he became an innovator and a commander first of the Metropolitan Police in Boston that patrol the parkways and the parks in the area, then the Massachusetts Bay Transport, the MTA of Boston. And he really made his mark in those places because he was doing different things. He was looking at ways of how you combat crime, all with an eye towards, as much of it about public relations, that if you don't have the media and the public on your side, you're not going to be able to succeed. And so I think Bill learned everything he, applied by the time he got to run the MTA in New York and then the New York PD itself and then on to L.A., these are the lessons he really learned in Boston when he was a very young, ambitious, and I must say, an innovative police commander.
And so what made him an innovative police commander in Boston at that time? And what you say about Boston is certainly Bratton all over with respect to his time in New York, that combination of innovation and ambition and being a little too big for his britches, as some people above him saw him. We'll get to Giuliani and him on that eventually. But what made him? Can you put your finger on what made him innovative in the late 80s and so in Boston?
One thing I noticed as a young reporter, and I was the cops reporter first at the Boston Herald, then at the Boston Globe in the 80s, I noticed that Bill, unlike other cops by nature were totally dismissive and suspicious of people who were not of their milieu. Bill had no problem hobnobbing and rubbing elbows with academics. So, for instance, he had a very early association with George Kelling at Harvard, who was writing about stuff in sort of what cops would say, that's mumbo jumbo. That's like, who cares what an egghead thinks? Well, Bill did. And he listened to guys like Kelling. He was comfortable in think tanks, where, cops call think tanks think tanks. And Bill was just, and I must say, he was somebody who was always more, he was just as comfortable in an academic setting as he was in, and probably more so than sitting around with a bunch of cops talking about how civilians don't understand them. As Bill would say, civilians don't understand you because you don't make yourself understandable to them.
And Kelling came up with the broken windows theory that Bratton then implemented. So it's not like the people in the think tanks or were all coming up with soft on crime, quote unquote, kinds of touchy-feely things. So Frank Zimring, it was not Giuliani, but Mayor David Dinkins, who brought Bratton from Boston to New York to run the transit police, which, as Kevin was saying, he had done in Boston. It was then a separate force in New York City. Ray Kelly, ironically, was Dinkins' NYPD commissioner, so they served under Dinkins at the same time. Do you know if they worked together or were competitive in those days?
Well, the thing about the bureaucratic organization of New York policing is that the Metropolitan Transit Police, as well as the Housing Police, were completely separate epochs during that period of New York City. So that before the mid-1990s and before a Commissioner Bratton innovation, you were in separate political fiefdoms. Bratton worked with in the Metropolitan Transportation Police and who would become his key strategist in the New York City police after another bounce up to Boston and back to New York City, was the most un-college professor personality type in the history of police strategy. It wasn't so much George Kelling who was the strategic mind behind the Bratton reforms. It was a high school GED graduate, a certificate. He couldn't finish standard schooling, who engineered the fare jumping strategies in the Metropolitan Transportation Police, and who Bratton found, and notwithstanding his lack of personality fit with standard policing,
adopted his ideas.
He took with him for the rest of his career.
Who was that guy? What was that guy's name? Do you remember?
Gosh, I'm going to need a little bit of help.
All right. Well, we'll see if we could come up with it. But you mentioned turnstile jumping. The Wall Street Journal recalls today that Bratton made his mark on subway safety in those early 90 days by going after the small crimes that he believes lead to bigger crimes, and that's the broken windows theory. And in that case,
no,
it was
broken windows theory.
It isn't?
Yeah. No, because the problem that the subway system had at that time is that it had two different fares. It was charging ordinary citizen full price, and it was saying muggers and robbers are free. It was not a question of how small the crime was. It was a question of who was being differentially recruited. So that as soon as you were charging a price to active criminals, there was quite a bit of displacement of criminal presence.
So turnstile jumping, graffiti, public drunkenness, all of those things that I understand what you're saying about how corrosive they were in the larger sense, but individual acts were relatively little cases, but Bratton cracked down. That was a new way of doing things.
But the major crackdown was on turnstile jumping because it had a direct non-broken windows connection to violent crime. And the reason that I emphasize that strongly is that when you get to what happens when all the police departments get under the Bratton administration, you have the same non-broken windows emphasis. Prostitution is public disobedience of law, because the prostitute has to tell the customers he or she is available. But prostitution was never something that, quote, quality of life enforcement broke down on, because these weren't street offenders. They were a little bit differently dressed and weren't the profiles of robbers and burglars.
And so before we go on to L.A. and our other guest, what did Bratton take with him from this experience that you've been describing running the transit police into the overall NYPD when Giuliani appointed him commissioner?
Two things that were essential and important. One of them was to have design or strategy-driven changes in policing. That was almost unheard of in police governance, despite the fact that a lot of people were thinking about changing those strategies. But the other thing that he learned was how to assume control over decentralized little fiefdoms of police management, how to obtain information. Later, when CompStat, the computer system, was created in New York, people thought about that as a crime control strategy, and it certainly was. But the other thing that it did is that it gave somebody at police headquarters a very good idea of what was going on the streets and all the individual precincts, so that when he then sat down with precinct commanders and higher authorities in these localities, all of a sudden the central manager knew as much about what was going on and could ask governing questions, so that there was a capacity to manage that came out of the tactics that were developed the first round in transportation policing, mm-hmm. and then later in the Giuliani administration. And that got him a lot of enemies in policing, but an enormous amount of power to make those changes happen where the rubber hits the road.
We're talking about the evolution of Bill Bratton from his time running police departments in Boston, New York, L.A. He consulted London. He was in the private sector with our guest Frank Zimring, who was just talking, who has written a book about his time in New York or partly about that, author of The City That Became Safe, New York's Lessons for Urban Crime and Its Control, Boston Globe columnist Kevin Cullen. And we turn now to Frank Stoltz of KPCC, Southern California Public Radio. And Frank, the headline we often hear about Bratton in L.A. was that he came in to reform a police department that had terrible community relations, as reflected by the Rodney King incident, the beating of King during his arrest that was caught on video, and of course riots followed the acquittal of those cops at their trial. But that was 1992. Bratton wasn't hired until 2002, a full decade later. Had nothing improved in all that time?
Things had improved, and Brian, if I could pick up on Frank Zimring's point,
sure,
that CompStat allowed police headquarters to better monitor divisions and precincts. When Bratton arrived in L.A., yes, things were marginally better than 1992 when Rodney King was beat up. But there were still a lot of problems, and a lot of the divisions were still operating like fiefdoms, as Zimring is describing. So it had one of those classic problems where police commanders at headquarters were unable to determine exactly what was going on. And so when Bratton came here and brought CompStat here and was better able to monitor what was going on, he also brought the chutzpah and the willingness to get rid of bad captains and bad lieutenants and bad sergeants and fire cops. And he had that tool where he could monitor them and then do it. And so, yeah, L.A. still had problems. When he arrived here, he laid down the law. He said that he was willing to make changes that previous police chiefs were not. All of the previous police chiefs had come up from the ranks of the LAPD. Bratton was an outsider. And it was very interesting when he arrived in 2002 because one of the things he did very early on was fire two cops from the Metropolitan Division, which is an elite division within the LAPD, believed to be untouchable until then, and he fired a couple of them, and it sent shockwaves through the LAPD, and it was a classic case of Bill Bratton coming in and laying down the law.
And Bratton was the LA police commissioner much longer than he was in New York, 7 years as opposed to just two before he and Giuliani had his falling out. Do you think fighting crime in LA is different enough from fighting crime in New York that there was much of a learning curve for Bratton, in addition to bringing in that CompStat system that was really pure Bratton, as you were describing?
Well, I think the challenges of building relationships with the community, and I know that was sort of one of your first questions, so I'm going to try and answer it now. Yeah, the challenges are greater when you're primarily policing from a patrol car and you're not out on the streets as much. Of course, New York has many more police officers per capita than Los Angeles. We have 10,000 police officers. I think you have, what, 35,000 out there?
Yep.
And we have about 4 million people here. So the ratio is still – so it's a challenge. But he was very aggressive in going out to communities and meeting with people and building those relationships. And he really carried this ethic to the troops, to the rank and file, that you need to get out of your car and you need to build these relationships and don't sit around and whine about how people don't understand you.
And did he become as effective in reducing crime in L.A. as he was at repairing community relations?
He did. Crime dropped in Los Angeles, as it did in most big American cities during his tenure. A dramatic drop in crime. I think the numbers are 40-50% in terms of murders and assaults. So there was a big drop in crime. You know, of course, we still see the same Bill Bratton that they saw in Boston that you saw in New York, too, though. He's brash. He's blunt. He can anger people. At one point, he called one very prominent activist a blithering idiot, and he sort of had to issue apology later on. Suggested members of the city council didn't understand the terrible toll that murder was having in their districts, and that they needed to do a better job and get out on the streets and understand that. He had to kind of back off of that one. But in the end, he is a very savvy political operator. He was able to get a lot of resources to the LAPD. Granted, Brian, this is happening in the context of a federal consent decree that was requiring reforms at the police department. The federal justice department had sued the department, finding the pattern and practice of excessive use of force at LAPD. So he had that as justification and as a, you know, sort of a hammer saying, hey, this has to be done.
Mm-hmm. So Kevin Cullen from the Boston Globe, having covered Bratton in Boston in his formative years, and watching him since from afar and hearing our other two guests, what would you say about the evolution of Bill Bratton? What kind of change, what kind of arc do you think might be worth noting?
Well, first and foremost, I think Bill has understood he always works for political masters wherever he is, and so he works within those confines. I'd say at 66, he's a little less brash, a little more circumspect. You push him enough, he will say exactly what he feels and get himself into trouble a little. But I think he really does. I mean, I talked to him at length yesterday, and I've actually had the fortune of following him around. I get a lot of good trips because of Bill Bratton. And I've seen him in action in L.A. I've seen him in action in New York. I've been overseas with him. And I think more than anything, he is so well-rounded in terms of different experiences. I think if you can work in L.A., if you can work in New York, you can work anywhere. And I think this time he comes, you know, it was interesting the way he put it to me. He thought that, you know, people say it's back to the future. He's returned to New York and it's, you know, 20 years later. But he sees his arrival this time around much more akin to when he arrived in L.A. in 2002. In which the most important thing he could do was to help to repair community relations. And as he said, him and de Blasio seemed to see eye to eye completely on this, that you can have all the crime reduction you want in the world. If you have a sense, that a perception in a number of your neighborhoods, wherever community you're in, that people are don't like what the police are doing, that those crime reductions mean nothing.
So can I jump in here?
Frank Zimring, sure. Go ahead.
It's actually Frank Stoltz.
I'm sorry.
I just want to put a point. I mean, Bill Bratton really in L.A., he really saw the police department, the LAPD, as an agent to repair race relations, as the primary force for social change. I mean, he really sees police as the main government body that is interacting with the populace. And as a very important element in a democracy, and he talks about that, the importance of constitutional policing to a functioning democracy, to building and repairing a long history in America of frayed race relations, primarily between African Americans and whites, but also with other minorities, Latinos and Asians. And he really believes that one of the big reasons LA is a better place, not just in terms of policing, lower crime, better police community relations, but in terms of how it operates overall as a functioning city, as a diverse group of people who get along, is because it's got a better police department.
So Frank Zimring, author of The City That Became Safe About New York, to that point, the irony of Bratton succeeding Ray Kelly for a second time right now is that Giuliani won that election in 93 largely by painting Dinkins as soft on crime, and Mayor Dinkins is our next guest, by the way, but painting Dinkins as soft on crime with Ray Kelly as his police commissioner. Now Kelly is the guy whose crackdown is seen as overboard, and Bratton is being brought in to create a kinder, gentler force, at least on one level. How did Kelly and Bratton manage to switch places?
Well, in the first instance, the central message that I'd get if I were listening to this story on your show is that the best model for round three, if you will, of Bill Bratton in New York is not what happened in New York between 1994 and 1996. It is the agenda and the challenges and the lessons in Los Angeles, operating with a consent decree, using the same management skills, but in this case, to try and centrally organize what would be better community relations at the same time as crime control. Jack Maples, the name that I forgot the first time around, it's early out here on the coast, was the crime control genius that Bratton invoked. He is deceased now, but he's also not needed because New York now needs a situation where policing continues to be efficient, but can be efficient in a much more polite way. The challenges for Bratton are within the department in the first instance. What he's got to do at this point is bring a self-confident and politically assertive set of police personnel in line with the new program. And they're not. As of late 2013,
and there?
They think that crime control is a license for behavior and attitudes that have been a political sticking point in New York City. So challenge one will be internal. Ray Kelly became a representative of that police view, and Bill Bratton's going to have to change it.
And there, Frank, we're going to have to leave it. because we are out of time. But there you have a very interesting threesome on the evolution of Bill Bratton and the challenge for him going forward in his second stint in New York. Frank Zimmering, who was just speaking, author of The City That Became Safe, which is about New York. He's professor of law at the University of California at Berkeley. And Kevin Cullen, Boston Globe columnist, and Frank Stoltz, reporter for KPCC, Southern California Public Radio. This has been so interesting, guys. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.